war, and then you came back to the majors during the war.
Well, at the time, it was 1943, I was with Toronto, mm-hmm. International League, and at the half the season, I was having a good year, and the Pirates bought my contract from the Maple Leafs. And so I finished out the year with them, and the Toronto won the pennant in the International League at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now tell me what you told me earlier about your war job and about asking or having your draft board switched. Will you go through that with me again?
Well, when I was with Mr. Mack with the Athletics in 1940, they had conscription, if I remember if that's the right word, but anyway, my draft board was in Haddonfield, mm-hmm. New Jersey. And then, as time went on, I went over to play with the Pirates, and I had my draft board change to Pittsburgh. And so anyway, at the end of the season, I was called in by the draft board and passed my physical to go in the Navy. Mm-hmm. And I was told to be ready in 30 days. So I went home. That year we finished second, if I remember right. So I went home and waited for the check. And so 30 days passed and all the money was going out, nothing coming in. So I went back to my trade, which is a machinist, and start working. So anyway, they never did call me. So I just stayed at my job. Mm-hmm.
And what was that job again, specifically?
A machinist. It was, and nobody knew it, but we were working on the Manhattan Project, which was the atomic bomb. Mm-hmm. And the parts that we made went to Oak Ridge,
Tennessee,
I think, if I remember right. So that's mm-hmm. the way that was.
Now, will you relate to me again the story about how you joined the Pirates, about the train ride in the upper berth?
Oh, yeah, I was, we had played a series, well, our 3 or 4 game series at Montreal, so it was a long ride from Montreal to Toronto. If I remember right, it was about 360 miles. So this was an overnight jump, a Pullman. So anyway, we came into the railroad station in Toronto, and I got my baggage and got on a streetcar, and I bought a paper off the boy who was in the streetcar, and I learned headlines that I was sold at Pirates. Now, this day was an off day, and we had a party planned out on the island, one of the islands, I forget the name of the island, Hannah's Point or something like that. It wasn't too far. You had to get on a boat, though. You couldn't go over there by horseback or anything. So, so anyway, all the beer and all was bought. And so anyway, I had to leave that afternoon. Well, anyway, I did go to the party, but I got my instructions from the ball club. And so when the time came, I had to leave for a train, so we came on back to the train, and just about made it. In fact, I had to run for it. It was so late. And then you want me to go on?
Yeah, please. Yeah, just tell
so
me.
So then we were heading for Pittsburgh. Frankie Frisch and his gang down there. So I get on a train, feeling pretty good, and I get in there, and it was pretty hot. It was in a midsummer, and the air conditioning was out. So anyway, I put in a rough night, and next morning we arrived in Pittsburgh, and I was called up to the office to sign my contract, which I did. And I was fitted up with the uniform in the clubhouse later. So anyway, this day we were playing the Phillies. And this left-hander by the name of Kraus was pitching. And so the Pirates were behind, so Frankie Frisch beckoned for me to come off the bench and pinch hit. So I came on up, brand new, tired from the train ride and all in the heat, hit a triple. And when I came into third base, he patted my back and said he wished he had nine more like me. Well, I thought I had it made. Mm-hmm. So, well, about the rest ever.
Yeah, hold on just a second.
Like I said, I thought I had it made, but it was in the same week. Pete Coscarat was ill, couldn't play, so I took his place at second base. Well, anyway, we were playing against the Cardinals, and the double play was in order. Frankie Gustine was playing shortstop, and the ball was hit to him, and he passed it to me at second. And it was one of those plays where I was in a hurry, and the ball got lost in my glove, and I couldn't find the handle, and I thumbed it over to first base, which was a big old lob, like Rip Soule threw one of these blooper ball. So anyway, I went in after three were out, and Frankie Frisch said to me, "What's the matter, Ruling? You got a sore arm?" I said, "Hell no, I just didn't get a hold of the damn ball."
Okay, fine. Now, what was your opinion overall of Frisch as a manager?
Well, I thought Frankie Frisch was an idol. I mean, he was probably a ball player comparable to Ty Cobb and all. But the part I didn't like about him, he expected you to be as good or comparable as him, or which was asking too much. Mm-hmm. So, and he was more or less to himself. I mean, like a big boss, and so that's the way it was. He wasn't too amicable, and so that's the way it was then. I mean, they just didn't come out and tell you how to do it. Mm-hmm. They expect you to do it this way, the way they thought. And to me, that was the wrong way to do things.
Were you with the Pirates in spring training of 1944 in Muncie, Indiana? Did you make that?
I never did, on account of war.
I see. In other words, you could only
never did go to spring training with the Pirates, because every time I'd make a move, they put me in 1A, and I had the children and all, and I didn't want to go into service, so I stayed in my job.
Okay, so what did you do? Just work out on your own and join the Pirates when the season started?
Right. I would try to get in shape, and some kind of shape, and then join them later on. Mm-hmm. Of course, if I'd gone into service, I probably would have get the pension today, like I said. Mm-hmm. But I probably got killed, too. Poor freshman here, that bench.
Who, Vince DiMaggio?
But you know what? These girls could play ball better than these boys.
Really?
You ought to see his daughter slide. Die hell, I never saw him.
And you say he taught you how to throw when you were in the outfield.
Oh, yeah, from the outfield, right. I'll never forget it. I teach this boy of mine the same damn thing. Uh-huh. But like I say, they didn't have, of course you have. Now, I doubt whether I don't think Pittsburgh had a pitching coach. I think the catchers coached the pitchers. They had
so they had no pitching coach, no hitting instructor, or anything like that?
No, not then they didn't, that I know of. Mm-hmm. Of course, Moses came over. I mean, if they saw something in you, maybe they would say, "Well, Wally, how about taking Ruby on his son and telling him something like that?" But they didn't have coaches, you know. So, but now they had second string catcher there, let's see, they had Baker was a catcher, and Davis was a catcher. Well, he played cards with Frisch. He was in with Frisch like that. Mm-hmm. Every day they'd play cards in the office.
You remember Davis's first name? Well, it doesn't matter. I'll check it.
Davis. That's an odd name.
So he and Frisch played cards?
Played cards every damn day. Now, this Davis, he was about finished. Mm-hmm. I mean, but he must have been a pretty good catcher in his day. Mm-hmm. I think he was up there quite a while.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so...
What was Lopez's contribution to the ball club? Could you see in him then qualities which would make him a great manager later on?
Yeah, I could see. I could see him back at the plate, waving to certain guys. You know, I mean, more or less directing them where to go and things like this. Mm-hmm. I could see that, but I always thought that. He was just a hell of a catcher, you know, and as far as managing and all that, I never dreamed of me that he would be until you mentioned it, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was the omen, I don't know.
Do you have any comment on any of the infielders, like Frankie Zack or Coscarard or Gustine or Dahlgren?
Frankie Zack, I'll never forget that boy because the All-Star game was in Pittsburgh, maybe it was 43 or 44, I don't know. After all, we're talking about 30 years ago.
I think it was in 44, yeah, it was in 44. Forbes Field, yeah.
So, anyway, the ball player would have 3 days off, if I remember, so I was anxious to get home. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I was more or less a utility man, you might say, so I got out of there right quick, the old smoky city. I knew it would be smoky there. So I took off. So come to find out, the All-Star game was played, and Frankie Zack had a chance of playing it. And he got luggage and stuff like that. And I'll never forgive myself for going home on account of that.
Why?
Because I'd have played. I'd superseded him. I was utility man. He was just like a second stringer, see?
Oh, in other words, he was called at the last moment?
The last moment, right.
Oh, I
was home and he got in there to play.
Oh, I see.
So this was something, of course, I don't know. It's the way it was. He got it.
Sure.
They really gave some good presents, I'm telling you. Clocks. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that. It's been 30 years ago. But Frank was, I mean, he was a nice little shortstop and all, but I mean, he was kind of weak, you know, thin. Mm-hmm. He was like a Bartell, but I think he couldn't hit like Bartell, see, let's put it that way. Excitable sort of a fellow, but when he got in that game, that burned me up. As hell, I was older than him, you know what I mean, and I'd been playing,
sure.
So that's the way it went. He didn't have any place to go, he was single, so... So he got the preference of playing there. Not the preference, but he got the chance of playing there.
Another guy who came up with those wartime Pirate teams and later went on to do some great pitching was Preacher Rowe. What do you remember about Rowe?
Preacher Rowe was always reminded me of he like a farm boy. Of course, today they call him hillbillies, I guess, but he was a quiet sort of a fella, and in his case, I think Preacher, I know that he got better as he got older, mm-hmm. which is very unusual in baseball. He got better as he went along.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about a guy named Xavier Rossinho?
Rossinho was from Jackson Heights, New York. That's from where all the ducks came from. Still are.
Yeah. What do you remember about
ducks.
Him?
But Rossinho was a peculiar sort of a pitcher. He had a if I remember right, he had a little sidearm and an underarm. And to me, like today, I mean, it would be a hell of a relief pitcher. Mm-hmm. But he was a hard worker, and in those days, I mean, you had to be pretty damn good, I mean, to get by.
Right.
But he stayed on, and he made his turn, so. But he was just good enough to get by, and that's the way it was.
Mm-hmm. What about Rip Sewell? Of course, he developed his booper pitch in 1943, and I know he won 20 games there a couple of years.
Right. Well, I have to tell you a good story about Rip Sewell.
Okay.
Rip got better as he got older.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been bouncing around down in minor leagues, of course. The blooper pitch made him famous. But I'll never forget, we were playing the Cardinals in Sportsman Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so Stan Musial's up the plate. So Frisch has got him to the point where he's going to throw him the old blooper pitch, see?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll never forget it. Anyway, it was an opportune time to throw the blooper pitch. He had Stan, two strikes and no balls, or something like that. So anyway, Rip rolls back and lets that blooper ball go up there. And old Stan waits for it. And man, he hit that thing, and I think it's still going on in St. Louis. Went over that right field fence or threw it or something like that. Man, that ball's gone. He really hit the heck out of it.
So Williams, then, in the 46 All-Star game, was not the first guy to time that pitch in Belford.
No. Then I can tell you another time that's something that's a little different. Casey Stengel, if I remember right, was managing the Braves. And the Braves had a shortstop who was, what's happening, his name, was short.
Damon Phillips?
No, not
Dick
Damon.
Dick Culler?
No.
Wiedelman?
No.
Okay.
Four Wiedelman. Wiedelman followed.
It wasn't Ben, Little Ben Garrity, was it?
No.
Okay, but anyway.
Anyway, this fellow was short, so anyway, what I understand, Stengel told his shortstop, the next time he thinks that Rip was going to throw this blooper ball, to get down on his knees and hit at it. So sure enough, the time came. This guy was he was a comedian. Damn, I can't think. Anyway, Rip throws the ball, and this fella gets on his knees. It was a hell of a sight. And he hits a line drive over the shortstop's head.
You mean he actually got down on his knees?
On his knees and hit a line drive over the shortstop's head.
That's a great story.